There's a bit of hesitation there to know who's starting off this morning. David and me. Who is it? Who is it? Welcome, everybody. It's lovely to see you all, young and old, up on the gallery, in the chairs, in the pushchair, coming through the doors. It's just great. David will be leading the service today. The reason I'm up here is just there's a couple of notices, and you know how I love notices. So before David does anything else, in terms of praying and welcoming and so on, just a couple of notices, and that is, you hopefully were given as you came in a copy of the notes that we gave out at the church meeting, some administrative tasks, job descriptions, and some responses to opportunities for worship, discipleship, service. The reason I wanted you to have hard copies is I know what happens to emails, and either ignored, deleted, forgotten, lost. So you've got hard copies there for you to have a look at, and there are sign-up sheets on the tables. They're duplicate set, so the same set in the hall as in the vestibule and the cross-link centre hall. Two sets, the same thing. Have a look at them, have a pray through, and think, yes, this is what God's called me to do. Sign up, because God is wanting to do a number of things this year. We considered his priorities for 2024. We're not trying to do everything, but there are some things that he's calling us to do, and that needs us to respond and to play our part. So that's why, for everyone I'm looking at now, you all have a part to play in what God's doing in his kingdom. And for a lot of you, it's here. So do sign up, either now or later on. Do send me an email or something if you think, yes, this is what I want to do. One other thing, and that is next Sunday evening, we've got our first Sunday of the month evening service. It's an opportunity to worship, to learn together in an informal way. Still a service, but a more informal way, less structured than the morning service when there's lots of different things going on. The evening service has got a different feel to it. And we're thinking about God's word, how God speaks to us. And I'm not quite sure what we're going to do on Sunday evening, which is exciting, isn't it? Anything could happen this week. But I think it'll be something about God speaking to us and God speaking through us. Thinking about God's prophetic word. So that's an exciting time. So do come along if you can. David, over to you.
Thank you, Stephen. Probably a silly question, but anyone here not had a busy week? I won't ask any questions, Stephen. I think people put up their hands who shouldn't have done. So I think this is a very appropriate little text from Scripture to begin our service for two people who'd be particularly relevant. The Lord says in his word, "Be still and know that I am God." And I want us to spend the first few minutes of this morning's worship service receiving from God and knowing him, not with our heads, but with our hearts and our spirits, just relaxing in his presence. And I'm going to play a song in a moment. Well, I'm not, but you will see a song on the screens and you will hear the lyrics. And I hope that these will draw you into worship. There are words that I'm sure each of us could say or sing, but I want you to listen to them. Either close your eyes so you can concentrate, look at the cross, watch the words on the screen. But let this song draw you to worship. So, Father God, as we come at the beginning of this service, we ask now, move amongst us by your Spirit, and come and indwell us. Thank you. And so, our Heavenly Father, as we experience your presence here right now by your Holy Spirit moving amongst us, between us, and in our hearts, we revel in the fact that you are the Almighty God, but that you're also the God who indwells your people, us. The world finds that so hard to understand because it is so amazing. And we thank you that this last week, by your Spirit, mostly probably when we were busy at life, you were indwelling us and prompting our minds, our hearts, our actions. And we thank you for that this morning. And we thank you too that you're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who hears our most innermost thoughts and longings, and that you delight to engage with us. And we have proved you this last week and praise you for the fact that you're Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. From the simplest needs of life to those tangled thoughts of mind that we find so hard at times to cope with, you come in and you untangle them and you provide in all kinds of ways that the world just cannot understand. And we praise you this morning, Lord, for all your provision in our lives and in our church family. And so we thank you that you're Jehovah Tussi, the Lord who is our rock. And we would establish ourselves on you as well as having you in us this morning. And so we praise and worship you and give you all the glory as we sing together, God of glory, we exalt your name, you who reign in majesty, and not just out there, but in here and in there. Thank you. sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Within us, he calls our spirits to want to respond in worship, in praise, but also in giving ourselves, and we'll be thinking a bit more about that towards the end of the service, but also in returning to him his goodness for providing for us for daily living in many different ways. And so we bring our offering. This is for those of us who are regular members of the fellowship. If you're a visitor, please just let the bag pass by, unless you've come and would like to give a gift to support God's work here in the church. So now, with the stewards, wait upon us, please, for the offering. Thank you.
Father, the scripture says that you own the cattle on a thousand hills, but it's just a wonderful way of the psalmist writing that you're the God of everything, because you created the world and everything in it, and ask some provision for us. And we bring out of that provision our grateful gifts for the service of your kingdom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay there, Jim. I have asked Debbie to come forward to join Jean is for two reasons. A, they're going to take the children out in a moment, but this week is rather special for Debbie, who's in training at Bristol Baptist College, and she's got a week placement at Akminster. And it's all a bit scary when you go to a new place. She's only there for a week, and she's got to get a lot out of it. And we're just going to ask the Lord to make sure they look after her and help her to learn through serving them. Let's pray together and give thanks for the children who's going to go out with them. Father, before the children leave, we thank you for Debbie and her ministry. And we pray as she goes to Axminster for this week of training by being in a new place, meeting new people, discovering new things and experiencing new things, that you will pour out your spirit upon her and enable her to get the most out of it and to really enjoy it. And now as Jean and Debbie go out with the children, we pray for them and the children to be blessed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stephen. Pray together for Stephen and Valerie. Father, we thank you for your word that is to be read and to be shared with us. And as it's read and shared by our two folk this morning, that you will help us to hear it, not just with our ears, but with our spirits. And you will bless them in their speaking, in Jesus' name.
Amen. The reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's found on page 1145, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Valerie. It's great to hear God's word read clearly so we can hear and understand. And when you just listen to it like that, you can see it all starting to make sense. God is speaking his wisdom in an age of foolishness to a church who are caught up in this foolishness. What is the foolishness that he's addressing in this part of the letter? There's the foolishness of the church itself, and there's the foolishness of the world in which they live. The foolishness of the church, and that's the thing we're going to be focusing most of all. The church thought they were mature, wise, ready for teaching beyond the basics of the cross of forgiveness and the gift of new life. They thought they were ready for solid food. They excelled, so they thought, in spiritual gifts. They are mature and wise, ready for solid food. But Paul burst their bubble of pride, telling them they're only mere infants in Christ, only able to receive milk. They're still not ready for solid food. I love it when God brings illustrations. And he did this for us at our nativity service just before Christmas. And he's done it again this morning because we've got Matthew with us. Now imagine Matthew is not quite ready for solid food yet, is he? Not getting there quite yet. Because how old is he now, Rona?
Rolling 3 months.
How many?
3 months.
3 months.
14.
So there you go. So 3 months. So he's not ready for solid food yet. This is our illustration. Why? Why aren't the church in Corinth ready for solid food? Because they haven't put into practice the teaching they have received. Peter Bottrell spoke very powerfully a couple of Sunday evenings ago about the danger of hearing lots of the scriptures, lots of the Bible, but not putting it into practice. We could be swamped with information, but it doesn't do any good if we don't put it into practice.
It's the truth that you hear
and obey that makes you mature. That's why Jesus' great commission to make disciples by baptizing and teaching people to obey everything that he taught still remains in place. We're to teach people to obey. The Corinthians are divided by jealousy and quarreling. They're divided into separate groups, labeled by the leader they're following. Some follow Peter, some, which is Cephas, Peter. Some follow Paul, some follow Apollos. This reveals that they, the whole church, are still worldly, acting like mere humans, mere men, foolish. Their secular culture evaluated people in terms of their privilege and their status and wealth. That shows value in the culture around them. They were using their corrupt society's standards to evaluate, to say how much these leaders were worth. Some say Paul is the best, some say Apollos, some say Peter. Their salvation is not in doubt. The Corinthian church is saved. But their God-given role, individuals, but the church particularly as a whole, has been thoroughly discredited by their activities. In their jealousy and their quarrels, they're conforming to the pattern of this world. So that's what they're not doing, right? What should they be like? Well, Paul has said it at the very beginning of the letter. Holy people, children of God, sanctified, made holy in Christ Jesus, set apart, made holy by the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Now we have a problem in our English that you can mean you, Grace, or you, church. And so I'm going to read that again. This is saying you, the church. Don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. It's important to understand this isn't an attack on an individual. What they were doing was desecrating, desacredizing. My computer didn't like that word. I put a dirty red line under that. What they were doing was desecrating, desacredizing, disregarding the fact that this is a sacred body, God's temple, God's home. And what they were doing was very serious. God threatens to destroy the one who destroys, tears apart God's temple. If they were truly mature, they would love one another, be at peace with one another, bless one another, honor one another. Their actions, their quarreling, reveal that they still need to hear and obey the basic gospel of saying, I'm sorry, repentance. The basic gospel of forgiveness, I forgive you. And obedience to Jesus. Jesus, I'll do what you tell me. They needed to walk by the Spirit and not follow their sinful nature. And Paul, in another of his letters, says what this looks like. The acts of the flesh, the sinful nature, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the basics of the gospel. Live according to the sinful nature, the flesh, or live according to the Spirit. The test of their maturity is unity. And that's the theme I'd like you to go away within your mind today. The test of our maturity is unity. Because for us, like the Corinthians, we live in a celebrity culture. We can fall into the same trap of thinking that we're mature because we've heard a lot of powerful preaching from impressive, charismatic, wise, in quotes, church leaders or Christian speakers. But if we are arguing about who's the best speaker, who we should be following, if we are criticizing people because they're not like this or not like that, we're acting like mere human beings. This world is foolish, and it will not benefit anybody to split ourselves up into factions of following this one or following that one. It's so important, this message, that Paul deals with it in chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 15, and probably I've missed a few chapters as well. So it's not something he says once, it's something he says several times. So we can be divisive, argumentative about speakers and teaching and so on. But we can also do it about churches. This church is great. That church is dead. When we came to Paignton the first time, we heard this church was dead. From a Christian minister. A Baptist Christian minister. I'm sorry to insult those who were here before we came. Of course, it's fine now because everybody else has arrived. So you were dead before, but no. But it's interesting. That is what was said. And I know, and I tell myself as I'm saying this, I have said wrong things about other churches. If we join in the spirit of competition, if we are envious of the number of young people another church has, if we're jealous of the age or liveliness of another church's pastor, if we are envious about the size of another church's worship team, how many channels they've got on their sound desk, we are revealing ourselves to be worldly. We have become part of the age of foolishness. This, although we laugh, it does damage to God's kingdom and it grieves God's heart. I don't think there's probably anything that grieves God's heart more, because you can tell that from what Jesus prayed. It grieves God's heart because we are tearing apart his temple, his home. Are we in danger of God's judgment coming upon us for doing this? Would you tear apart a Bible? I know somebody did that to someone in this church. They tore apart their Bible. Would you tear apart a Bible? Would you rip in half a picture of Jesus? Would you desecrate a church building that happened recently for St. John's? So, why would you tear apart his temple? The place he lives. His body. What is the solution to this? Because it's been happening for 2,000 years and it isn't going to stop. What's the solution? Focus on God. If anything's happening, if there's any life, any growth in this church or any other, who's it down to? We just read it. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It's God who makes things grow. If you've experienced growth here, hallelujah, glory to God. If you've experienced growth listening to a speaker online, hallelujah, give glory to God. One leader may plant, another leader may water, but it's God who makes things grow. So we focus on God, and that's the first one. It was lovely to start our service, be still and know that I'm God. It's what Sheila Archer has chosen for the music coming into her funeral. And she's such a gift because it confirms that same word that's been spoken a number of times over these last few days. Be still and know that I am God. Focus on God and build well. Just two things. Focus on God, build well. Recently, Angela did again, and it's come up several times, and it's great. She looked at the Jesus parable about the man who built his house on a rock. And when the winds came and the storms came and the floods came, the man whose house was built on the rock still had a house. But the man who built his house on the sand, when the storms came, the floods came up, rain came down, the floods came up. Remember that song? The house on the sand. No, not stood firm. That was the rock. You've heard this lots of times, Josie. You should know this by now. The house on the sand went down with a crash. Jesus told really good stories so we could remember them, and we still have a trouble. But the point was, how did you get to have a house on the rock? How did the man get to have a house on the rock? He heard what Jesus said and put it into practice. Jesus said, the man who built his house on the rock are those who hear my words and put them into practice. It's a simple message, and that's it. That's the truth. Building well on the foundation that has been laid in our hearts of Jesus is by hearing what he says and putting it into practice. God has given us a variety of people to give us a foundation of faith in Jesus Christ that has saved us. And if I ask you now, you could all tell me individuals, whether it was friends, family members, teachers, churches, people gave you what you needed to know to have a foundation for your life in Jesus. Thank God for them. I can thank Mr. Barnes and Mrs. Smith Nichols and the girl I fancied and never went out with her, who gave me the track that meant I became a Christian. And I can think back, and I'm sure you can all think back. Thank God to all the people that laid a foundation. And thank God for all the people who then built on that foundation. We didn't stay there. We need to be those who build on that foundation for other people. Let me put some bricks in your life. How do we build well? And there's a choice. You can build well or you can build badly. We've got some building work going to be done in our place. And we've had bits done. And the people we've had have done it really well. It's still there. It's doing its job. Got a choice. You either build with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. This is picture language, because we're not quite the three little pigs with wood, hay, and straw. But we're into nursery rhymes today, as you can tell. Let's think about what it means to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are symbols of pure Christian Jesus doctrine. Jesus teaching and living, putting it to practice. This is faith expressing itself in love. Paul goes on to describe what their love's all about in chapter 13. This is about obeying God's clear instructions, hearing the word, putting it into practice. I've got to do this today. My wife and I are going back to a place that we spent 19 years in a church. We're very much involved. Very difficult time at the end. Many of you would have been through similar situations. And our whole attitude towards this event and the people there and so on needs to be one of blessing, of thanksgiving and blessing. We could remember the bad stuff, or we can celebrate the good stuff. We can hold resentment and unforgiveness, or we can forgive and bless, and bless, and bless again. Guess which we're going to try and do? Yes, yes, with your encouragement. And all this type of building will remain. Gold, silver, precious stones, very unusual building materials. Anybody got a house here that's got gold, silver, and precious stones in the walls? Not usual, is it? But in the kingdom, in the church, it's precious gifts, precious stones, gold and silver. What you don't do is build with wood, hay and straw, because it's going to get burnt up. When judgment comes, it'll just disappear. Waste of time. It's symbolic of weak, insipid teaching and living. Either not hearing the right stuff, or hearing the stuff and not putting it into practice. This is about going our own way. This is about following man-made interpretations of God's word. This is about being conformed to the pattern of this world. If it feels good, do it. Compromising God's holy call. I don't want to waste my time building with wood, hay, and straw. Because it'll displease God and it will achieve nothing. So let's not do it. So that's the foolishness of the church that Paul was talking about. And just a little bit, because Sheila's going to be preaching more of this next week. So watch out. I'm not going to tread on her toes. So I'm just going to do a little bit more on the foolishness of the world. Paul encourages his hearers not to measure themselves by the standards of this age. Not to follow the so-called wisdom of this age, which is actually craftiness. It's not good. And it's actually foolishness. That's why Paul says God catches the wise in their craftiness. That's the wise in these world's terms. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. Those who think themselves clever in this world, their thinking, their thoughts, their scheming, their plans, they're going to come to nothing. For a short time, they'll seem to succeed, but it won't last. The schemes of so-called wise people won't get them anywhere. They can't buy a way into heaven. And they can't take anything of this world, apart from sin, with them when they die. I never thought about that before. You can't take it with you, we say. There's one thing you can take with you. You can take sin with you and receive judgment upon it. When you look around today at leaders, those in authority, politicians, those in power, how many of them are scheming to stay in power? How many are exploiting their position to steal from their countries? They lie and they cheat. Before we start pointing the finger, remember we are sinful as well. So I'm not just thinking we're great and they're awful. But look around us. There's been even more stuff on the news today about those who are in leadership at the post office and have just recently resigned or been forced out, whatever. Things are unraveling. In many cases, that never happens. Judgment is not sorted out in this life. Things are not sorted out. But there will be a judgment time. Justice will be served in all nations. Jesus gave that word to us. There will come a time when Putin will fall. Either onto Jesus and be saved, or crushed by Jesus. Trump will be judged by the judge who cannot be bought, bullied, or manipulated. And I make no apology for naming it. It is appalling what he does and how he does it, and even worse, that Christians put him up as an example and someone to follow, and they're glad he's there. It is appalling. Wake up. And I hope as many people as possible hear that recorded. Because the church has been deluded in this country, let alone in America. Because they're powerful. Because according to the world's standards, they're great. It's appalling. So that Paul says, so then, no more boasting about human leaders. That's what the world does. I love Trump. I love Putin. For us, all things are ours. And this is something that blows your mind. I've never heard this preached on, and so I'm just going to say it and leave it you to think about. Every Christian preacher, every church leader is yours. So you've got Stephen Cole's pastor, but you've also got every other pastor. You've got every other preacher. They're all yours. You don't just think, oh, we've only got Stephen. Wish we could have him. They're all yours. They're all yours. Now, in the internet time, it actually becomes a bit clearer to see that's true, because you can hear preaching from wonderful preachers all over the world. Someone's come from India, I understand, to Upton Vale. And you can go and listen to him. So there are all sorts of things that you can do. But the point is, what Paul says at the end of this word, just in case you don't think I'm making this up, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. So everyone's yours. You know, Paul says you don't need to fight and argue about who you're following, which party you're part of. Everyone speaking the truth is a blessing to you. Everyone. But more than that, and I don't understand this really, the world, life, death, present, future, all are yours. That's what we've just read. Is that bit not true? Because we had Jesus, and everything belongs to him, we have everything. So why, Paul says, are you fighting and arguing and scrabbling about, I want this, I want that, I want that? That's just what the world does. Well, it's fighting for a football manager, a football. I mean, there are millions of people play for different football. I know some people are very aggrieved when their football team member gets bought by another club because they've got bigger pockets and they can afford to nick their good players. And it's like somebody saying to, you know, Paul Tan, all the best players, all the best managers, they're all yours. So don't worry about the fact you just said your best player nicked off you. They all belong to you. It's just beyond our thinking, really. But we just do not need to argue or be resentful or jealous. Everything's ours. Everything. We are rich. So, having blown myself away at these thoughts and think, what else, you know, I don't understand all that. Let's just be wowed by God's amazing grace. So let's do two things. Firstly, I'll just lead us in a prayer. I'd like us to repent, to say sorry for where we have torn down or tried to tear down God's temple, his home, and grieved him. So I put myself at the top of the list. And then secondly, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of commitment to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones. And remember, the test of our maturity as a church is our unity. That's why this is so important. God gave a word to us several times over the last few weeks. Wednesday worship, deacons meeting, last night at the church meeting. Be united. So let's pray. Lord, we are sorry when our actions have worked against your prayer that your church would be brought to complete unity. Lord, we're sorry when we have had a go at another church or another church leader. We're sorry when we have participated in the jealousies or the quarrels or just the gossip. Jesus, you love the church. She is your bride. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you love your temple, which is us, your church, the whole church. Lord, we pray you would forgive us for working against you as you are building the church. And Lord, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, may we build upon the foundation of Jesus in our lives with gold, silver, and precious stones. Hearing your word, obeying your word. Being united of one mind. Maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, that's what we want. Lord, we do want to be a mature church. So Lord, we pray, make us united by each of us doing our part to love, honour, and encourage one another. And Lord, may this go way beyond this building, this community, as we bless everyone of every church. Yes, Lord, we know there are times we need to teach and admonish. There are times when we need to point out disobedience, unbelief. There are those times, and we will do that as you lead us. But Lord, may we be those who build up, not tear down. Amen.
We're going to sing a hymn in response to that in a moment. Sometimes we hasten on from sermons very quickly. I want us just to be still. Recall how God's been speaking to us through the sermon. Just encapsulate it so that you can take it away with you. So just a moment or two before we sing. And so we're going to sing, chosen by Stephen to again, enhance what we've been thinking about. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. Let's rise and sing.
I'm
hold that slide because it leads into our prayer time. Before we sing our last song, there are two very important things we need to pray about as a church family. And it's really summed up there. What is your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will and I will follow you. You've just sung that. And at our church meeting on Tuesday, Stephen just opened up to us the exciting possibilities that God is giving us as a church family, but it involves each of us discovering what our path is in that. And it's discovering our gifts and our talents and then giving them to God to use in the life of his family here, his temple here. And so we're going to just pray about that, that each one of us may hear God speak to us. And then secondly, at our church meeting, David Butler shared with us about Caroline and Victor, who have been our Baptist Missionary Society missionaries for the last few years, that God has suddenly shown them he has a new thing for them to do. And they've come to the end of one season of service overseas, and he's opening up a new one for them. And they're going to go to college and to retrain, really, to be church leaders here in the church, a church in this country. And it's a scary thing. Suddenly God says, no, that's finished. This is where you're going to go. And so we're going to pray for them. And when we do, I'm going to pray out of my experience, because Barry and I had a very similar experience some years ago when all of a sudden the ministry of the church was closed like that. And we didn't know what was going to happen, where we were going to go, how we were, just like them. So the prayer I pray is for them out of their experience that they're going to have in the next foreseeable future. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our church family, for our church and its life in so many different ways. And now we want to let it grow as you're opening up new opportunities of service and witness for us here in this community, in this place. And you're relying on us to accept the spiritual gifts that you've given us and to discern them, to understand them, and to use them together with our natural talents in the service of your kingdom. So help every one of our church family over these next few days and weeks to hear your voice saying, this is your gift. This is where you need to be serving me. And help us to hear and obey and to follow your leading. For then we know all will be well. And we pray for Andy and Jutta, as we now shall know them, their real names. Veronique's is an exciting place. Just in the last month, a few months, you've shown them that the work in Africa has come to an end, and you have a new future for them. And we just pray, Lord, that you will take them through these next months and years. And we're going to pray, Father, some specific things for them. And we would pray that you will give them protection from Satan's demons. Demons of the night. Demons of the unknown. Demons of the unexpected. Lord, Satan's going to have a go at them. We pray for your protection over them and around them, in their minds, in their hearts, and in their wills. And as you have called them to a new sphere of service, will you equip them with the gifts they'll need for that? And then secondly, Lord, we pray for faithful friends and an abundant supply of life's resources as they need a church to partner them in their training, a place to live, a car for mobility, and an income sufficient for them to live free from worry. Lord, these are their specific needs. Will you open the windows of heaven and through friends and churches and family and in perhaps amazing ways provide these needs very soon, Lord, for they're urgent. And then thirdly, we would pray for them to have patience with each other, with the strangeness of life's events in this new and exciting season in their lives and calling. And may you give them joy in all the discoveries of the next few weeks and months and years. And may we rejoice with them. For we ask these our prayers in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to close with a song, both for us as we enter this new season for us, and for them as they go into new times of opportunity in their lives. It's, I'll go in the strength of the Lord in paths he has marked out for me. If you're able to, let's rise and sing. Thank you, Andrew.
I'm going.
And we sung that for ourselves and for Andy and Jutta. We're going to send them our prayer for them and that song this week, because today, in about half an hour's time, they'll be telling their church that don't know yet. The leaders know, but not the members. They've got a church meeting at lunchtime today, and they'll be sharing with them. So if when you give thanks for your lunch, just give a prayer for them as well, because they're not looking forward to it. It's one of those things. Anyway, have the children got anything they want to show us? Any pictures you've done? Come on, Debbie, show us anything that wants to be encouraged. No?
My body is a temple. We thought about that, where the God and the Holy Spirit has lived with us since the beginning of creation, all the different places in the journey through the Old Testament, and then Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we've been looking at how to make sure that temple is fit and well.
So wonderful.
That's what we did today, and it fitted beautifully with the start of your service.
Sorry?
It fitted beautifully.
It did. It did. Thank you so much. Let's stand up and look around and share the grace with each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.